fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show. A tremendous Tuesday to you. You know, the McCarrick Report finally came out, finally, early this morning, Rome time, very, very early. And it dropped at about 9 a.m. Eastern in my time zone. And I know you're joining us from all over the country and all around the world. So glad to have you with us. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call on The Cale Clark Show. And I did want to mention that right off the top because it's kind of the elephant in the room. And I know that it's been talked about for most of the day throughout the media. And I got to admit, first of all, I haven't read the report. And I don't think you can really blame me for that. It's over 400 pages long, for goodness sakes. It's going to take a while. It's not a bedtime reading or early morning reading. And like you, I'm a pretty busy person, and I've got a lot of work to do. And I did not have time to check out those 400-plus pages on the McCarrick Report. However, and you might say, well, why even talk about it if you haven't read it? Well, like I said, it's the elephant in the room, and your friends are talking about it, at least the snippets that they've heard about it through the media. As I was on my way to morning mass today, I got a text from a really dear friend of mine who is an evangelical, someone who I'm really close to, and I've been talking to him about the Catholic Church for years, and of course, he texts me about this. Whenever something goes wrong in the church, he's usually the first to text me and say, well, what about this, Cale? And I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. So we do need to talk about this because this whole issue of abuse in the church is clearly one of the big reasons why people are walking away from the church. And in just a few minutes, I'll be joined by Father Rocky Hoffman, the CEO of Relevant Radio, our executive director, who's going to be weighing in a little bit on his thoughts about this report. But before that, I do want to talk about mostly today, you know, how we can react to this as Catholics. I haven't read it. You probably haven't read it. But some facts from the report have leaked out into the media, so we can at least talk about those. I think they're pretty verified. And we can talk about how we as Catholics can respond to this issue. And again, this is about the very serious sins of the ex-Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, who used to call himself Uncle Ted and used to call his victims his nephews, if you will. And he has now, of course, been stripped of not only the cardinalate, but also the priesthood itself by Pope Francis. And I'm not sure why he's not in prison, to be honest with you, but having said that, he is out there somewhere, living as a layperson. And over many, many decades, he had sexually abused seminarians, priests, and at least two minors. And in fact, this is just an unbelievably horrific fact, but he actually abused, one of his victims was the very first child that he had ever baptized into the Catholic faith when he was a new priest. And of course, that abuse happened some years later, but what unfathomable evil. What unfathomable evil. And we've been waiting a long time for the Vatican to drop this report to talk about who knew what when and who sort of facilitated his rise through the ranks to become not only the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., but also a cardinal as well. And around this time, of course, when the revelations of McCarrick were first becoming well known, of course, the Pennsylvania grand jury report came out. The state attorney there talked about how roughly 1,000 people were abused by priests over a period of about 30 years. So this was just a rough period for the church to go through. And again, when we talk about people leaving the church, this is really at the top of the list in terms of issues. And we owe people a response. These scandals are really anything but a motive of credibility for the divine origin of the church. And last night we were talking about the passing of Alex Trebek, and sometime before his death, this was back in 18, he was moderating a gubernatorial debate in Pennsylvania, and he tried to make light of the situation. It was around the time when the Pennsylvania report was coming out, and he joked that the only thing that was more unpopular than Pennsylvania politics or politicians was the Catholic Church. And the crowd actually booed him. They turned on him. Obviously, a lot of Catholics there who were very upset about that situation and who wouldn't be. And so he actually tried to save it and you know, went on this spiel about how he grew up, you know, as a Catholic and attended these boarding schools where there were exemplary priests that helped him and his friends. And yeah, and that's all true. And we talked a little bit about that last night. But the facts about abuse in the church have been obviously something that has been the center of a firestorm in the media surrounding the Catholic Church. So we've got to talk about how to react to these things as Catholics, and we will. We will. I do want to point out just one thing that came out of the report. And this is something, this is the article that my friend texted to me, and it was from CNN. And the very headline tried to kind of blame St. John Paul II for this whole thing in many ways. And let me just find it for you here. The headline was, Vatican admits Pope John Paul II was warned about abuse of Archbishop Theodore McCarrick. And I just want to touch on that a little bit. Does this in any way, does this Vatican report that that came out today tarnish the legacy of St. John Paul II? You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. If you want to react to any of this, you can call us at 1-888-914-9149, toll-free, or email us, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com, or you can tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Does this tarnish the legacy of St. John Paul II? Well, one of the things that you have to understand is that the report says that three different bishops lied, straight up lied, to John Paul II when he was pope about McCarrick and his activities, because they had heard rumors, and JP2 basically sent out a dispatch to investigate these rumors, and that's what happened. He wanted the dirt on this, and three bishops came back to him and said, there's nothing to see here. McCarrick isn't guilty of anything. So he was lied to, and he was also lied to by McCarrick himself. He was obviously, to be able to pull this off, not only would people have had to protect him in the church and turn a blind eye to his activities, some people who knew what was going on, but McCarrick himself was a master psychological manipulator, an absolute master manipulator. And he also, of course, unsurprisingly lied to St. John Paul II about his activities. Another thing, too, that you have to remember, and George Weigel, of course, the papal biographer who wrote the famous biography of JP2 called Witness to Hope, as he pointed out when asked to comment on the Vatican report today, he pointed out that JP2, a mitigating factor here also, was that JP2, of course, was a bishop in Poland. Now, the Polish communist government was notorious for trying to cast aspersions on Catholic priests, and would often create these rumor mills where priests would be accused of all kinds of heinous deeds, none of which were true. But it was an attempt to discredit the Catholic Church, of course, and the Catholic position on the dignity of the human person, the dignity of work, and really it was, which is a complete opposition to communism. And so he had been sort of, had spent years hearing rumors about priests that weren't true, that were politically motivated. And so he had a tendency to not want to buy into those things. And that was true also, by the way, when Father Marcel Maciel, who, of course, was the founder of the Legionaries of Christ, who was exposed as a serial predator, an absolute wicked person, when the rumors about him began to circulate, JP2 didn't want to believe that either. And I think that had a lot to do with it. What he had heard in Poland certainly colored accusations that he would hear in the future. So would this in any way undermine the sanctity, the personal sanctity or holiness of John Paul II? Absolutely not. This would not touch on that at all. He is canonized. We know he's in heaven. He's provided evidence of that, of course, through miracles that have been wrought through his intercession for his beatification, for his canonization. So that does not affect at all his sanctity, his personal holiness. And so he was misled. That's the bottom line here. And one might argue, well, he should have had better judgment. But based on the facts that he had, it seems as if he was duped by McCarrick and others as well. I'm joined right now by Father Rocky Hoffman, who is the CEO of Relevant Radio. And Father Rocky, welcome to the program. So good to have you on once again.
Hey, great, Cale. Thank you for having me on your show today. It is a very important topic. It'd be easier and perhaps more pleasant not to address it at all, but we really wouldn't be doing our duty at Relevant Radio to speaking about matters that are relevant and concern to baptized faithful all over the place. So, first, we are grateful that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, has delivered this report to the world in English. This is unprecedented. I've never seen anything like this before. And I can see why it was 2 years in the making. It's very detailed, 461 pages or so, very exhaustive. And here we read, the story that began in the book of Genesis, right? A tale of the devil tempting us, people giving in, and the tale of original sin. The only one who never sinned, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother. And so this is very sad. You know, first our hearts go out to all the people who have suffered because of sexual abuse, specifically clerical sexual abuse, and then did not find proper recourse in the church. So in reviewing this and many articles and commentaries all over the internet on this today, mm-hmm. some thoughts have come to mind. This is a long paper trail. It's an astonishing long paper trail for decades. There were, you know, things put in writing, sometimes anonymously, which, you know, it's hard to act on something that's anonymous, right, that raised question. Positive points here, though, reviewing this situation in the church over the past 20 years, is I think the church has made a tremendous amount of progress in terms of being aware of the reality of sexual abuse of minors and sexual impropriety with vulnerable adults, and sexual sin with adults, even if they're not vulnerable. And now it's clear there's no double standard for bishops or cardinals in the church. There was once upon a time. And the Holy Father has been very straightforward with that, with the document he released a couple of years ago, Vos Lux Mundi, you are called to be the light of the world. So bishops are held accountable. It's unprecedented in my lifetime that a very well-known cardinal first is stripped of his hat as a cardinal and then reduced to the lay state. That's the case. So it's no longer Cardinal McCarrick. It's Ted McCarrick. And in many ways, I feel sorry for him, and I hope he can come to a spirit of repentance and ask for forgiveness, because he no longer is a priest, and he needs this time to take stock of his situation, because he's a human being like any of the rest of us, right? Jesus Christ died for him on the cross. Let's hope he can accept that kind of mercy and transformation. So that's a good thing. No double standard for bishops or cardinals, and the Holy Father is to be congratulated about that. The other thing that's very important for all of us to realize, whether this happens to the priest, a cardinal, a bishop, a layperson, or whatever, and that is that sexual sin and dishonesty often go together. That's the whole story about King David, right? King David was God's favorite. Right, he was, you know, David who killed Goliath, and he got too big for his britches. And one day, not minding his eyes, you know, he looked at the woman next door. Next thing you know, she's expecting a child, so that's sexual sin. But then he's got the dishonesty to set up her husband Uriah, the Hittite, to be slain in a battle, and it's all a part of a cover up. So we need to be aware of this. Not only the life of people in the church in high-profile positions, but in our own life, sexual sin and dishonesty often go together, whether you're married, whether you're celibate, whatever it is. That's why the sacrament confession is so important, so helpful. Otherwise, the devil's going to have a hold on top of us. So, sorry situation here. It seems pretty clear that Ted McCarrick was habitually, maybe even uncontrollably dishonest. He might have gotten to that path that his conscience, you know, he was living a double life. He just he couldn't admit it, right? And it seems that various bishops who aided him, all of whom are dead now, the bishops in America, they were not forthcoming with all of his information. It's told that they were inaccurate. That's, you know, that's a polite way of saying that they weren't completely honest either, right? So that sets up a real question. Are people aiding and abetting each other? That's happened before in history, all right? And no reason that the church is not immune from that, right?
That's right.
But here's what's interesting. It took a credible charge of a crime to bring it all to light. You know, and the charge of a crime was sexual abuse of a minor.
Right.
What needs to be looked at in much more detail is, I think, for the church's reflection, is we should also be concerned of things that are not technically a crime but are a sin.
Right? Yes,
so adultery is a sin, even though it might not be a crime in the penal law. So if a bishop is sleeping with a young man in the same bed, that's highly unusual, right? It's highly unusual.
Yeah.
And for people to say, well, it wasn't technically a sin, I say, well, boy, they really lack good judgment. They really lack good judgment, right? So there's an issue here that we've got to be more honest about how we assess these things, right? I think the other point that comes true in all of this is the old adage, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. And Jesus predicted, you know, what's been done in the darkness will be put in the light. How embarrassing, how shameful, and all that. And we pray, you know, for the victims, we pray for healing in the church, but, you know, we pray that we can really make strides in terms of honesty and integrity in our own lives. So I would say this report, really, it's a step in the right direction. It's a first step. It's not the final step. I would think anyone who was associated with Ted McCarrick, unfortunately, is going to remain under some suspicion. I think that's just human nature, you know.
Of course.
That's a pity, you know. But that's the reality. And the truth will set you free. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I would say, you know, the church has made big steps forward to not tolerate sexual abuse in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And bishops are as accountable as priests. I would say Pope Francis has also made big strides forward for financial transparency and accountability in the Vatican, because he recently relieved two key people in the Vatican from oversight of financial matters. The things are related, right? Money,
absolutely.
Sexual crime, and dishonesty are related. And we'd all be tempted, right? And we've got the benefit, at least in the way we do business in our country, doesn't always work, that normally companies are subjected to independent financial audits. And sometimes you can fool the auditors, right? But you really need to have good, tried and true systems of internal controls, you know, so
that absolutely.
You avoid cash dealing because you can never trace cash. Mm-hmm. You're accountable for the expenses. You're accountable for your time. you live in the light. Yeah. Now, I was trained in a CPA firm for 3 years, and I have grown to see the benefit of that, because if you don't have that financial accountability and transparency, the first thing to suffer is trust, right? So when there isn't honesty, there won't be trust between people. Now, follow the path. If there isn't trust, there won't be cooperation. People won't work together. If they don't cooperate, there will be no enthusiasm. And if there's no enthusiasm, there is no growth. So if you're in an institution and there's no growth, whatever the institution is, it's possible, it's likely that you trace it all the way back to some fundamental problems with honesty. And so people don't work together. They don't trust each other. They may show up for work. They may nod their head, but they don't really trust each other. So that's huge. Same thing in marriage, right? Same thing in life.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the Holy Father continues to promote this. I know Cardinal Pell has been promoting this, and he's back in the Vatican now.
Yes.
You know, he was one of the promoters of the program of church management at the Pontifical University of Holy Cross, where I've had the honor to be a guest lecturer for the past 2 years on a one-week course on crisis management in the church, which was quite fascinating, because last January, when I was there, early February, I asked the students who were there. One was a bishop, another was an archbishop. There are people, you know, like, what are the crises you're dealing with? And the archbishop from Philippines, just our jaw dropped. So I'm dealing with a million homeless Catholics in my diocese right now because of the volcano. I said, wow, that's crisis management.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Or sub-Saharan Africa, you know, the things they have to deal with. The church is very, very universal. So I think we're going to get beyond this. I hope so. The most important thing each one of us can do is to try to be a saint, to avail ourselves of the sacraments. Priests need to recommit themselves to preaching the truths of the church, the virtues of chastity and obedience and humility and temperance and self-control, to joyfully embrace and engage and accept what the church has set down for us in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, all of it, not just picking pieces of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that way we're going to help people. I know when I was a youngster, when I finally heard the truth when I was 17 years old, I was like, I was like getting out of jail. I like said, why didn't anyone ever teach that to me before?
Well, exactly. As Jesus said, you mentioned it earlier, the truth sets us free. And speaking of an organization that loves to celebrate the truth, and that is growing, and you talked about growth before, we just came through an amazing pledge drive last week on Relevant Radio.
Oh,
and this is your first time on the program since the pledge drive last week. And we just can't thank our listeners enough for their support for what we're doing, and thank you. And I'm sure you want to say a few words of thanks to them as well.
Yeah, I do. I want to thank them because it's really kind of a vote of confidence that we're headed in the right direction. We're no longer taking commercial advertising. So we don't have to take political ads of any federal candidate. We've got the new Cale Clark Show on the Faith Explained. We've got Timmery Jaja trending with Timmery. Mm-hmm. We've got the Rosary every evening, which is enormously popular. We've got the Mass huge. Every day at noon. And we're going to continue to bring that to you. And it's really a vote of confidence. People say, yeah, you're doing the right thing. We know we're not perfect. Me in the first place, I am not perfect, right? And so we ask you to pray for us. Pray for us that we say things that can help you, that we speak as Jesus would speak. He speaks the truth, but he speaks it with charity, right? He doesn't condemn the woman mm-hmm. who was caught in adultery, but he also clarifies, hey, don't do this sin anymore. He doesn't call it virtuous what she did. I don't condemn you, but go, but don't sin anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are sad that, unfortunately, you can't stay with us for the whole program. You're going to have to go because you've got a lot of things to do.
Yeah, but lots going on.
Absolutely, as the CEO of Relevant Radio. And Father Rocky, I really do want to thank you for taking the time to join us to talk about other
Thanks, Cale.
Of the Vatican
I love your
today.
Show.
Oh, well,
love
that's very
show.
Kind. That's very
yeah,
kind,
leave,
Father.
Leave all the listeners with a thought. Look, this is the body of Christ. Let's pray for the church. Let's learn from the past. Let's be honest, but let's forgive, too, right? Because if we hold on to wounds and forgiveness, that's not healthy, all right? And where do we find that grace to do that? Let's look at Jesus on the crucifix, right? That's why the crucifix is in the center of every church and every chapel, the body crucified on the crucifix. And then, we'll pray for you. We got to pray for each other. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Cale.
You got it, Father Rocky. Be assured of my prayers, and thank you for taking the time out today. Really appreciate that. God bless. That was Father Rocky Hoffman, CEO of Relevant Radio, joining us, and we'll be back after the short break at the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.